So welcome back. We'll go to Sarah.
Hello.
Hi.
I really resonated with what you said today. You'll not feel sorry for me, but I have a reasonable amount of money. So actually, because of that, what I found is that time is an issue.
Yeah.
In the past, I didn't, you know, as an impoverished student, I didn't have much money at all. So I had limited choices.
Yeah.
Time wasn't.
It's almost easier, right? When you don't have enough, it's almost easier in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, I get that. I get that. Both sides of the coin, yeah.
Yeah. So yes, I have so much choice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have a finite amount of time.
Or do you?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I imagine I do.
Because when finances began to flow, when there was more than enough for me, then I began to realize that was another thing that was underneath. It was this belief in time. Here's where I was still. It's a very subtle thing, time, but still making it into a something that I was at the effect of. It's an actual thing, time. And it seems to be, of course, you know, it seems to be. But anyway, sorry, go ahead. I was just.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad you can understand that, because I think it's hard to talk about, given that a lot of people wouldn't understand. My cat's very sick at the moment as well, and so I'm worried about her. And my father died a good over 10 years ago of a heart attack. So again, there's death in time. Life and death occur in time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this real idea that there's a finite amount of time, and I need to somehow control it and use it well and manage it, and all my responsibility. And if I don't work out how to make the best of this time,
then you'll have wasted time. You can't get it back and all of that stuff.
Simple time. Yes. Yes.
Shall we ask what time is then? Shall we play with that together? I think that might be useful for a lot of people as well. You know, everyone can follow along as well if they want to. So what happens when you ask this question then? Just like we did last week, just openly curious, seeing what answers come. Of course, there'll be the usual suspects, the thought answers, you know. What really is time? Actually, what is it?
Change.
Yeah.
Growth, decay, movement, seasons, loss, and I'm feeling sad.
Yeah. It's a kind of an emotional answer coming. Time is loss, sadness. Just stay with the question, see. Not negating the emotion, it's there, of course, but what really is time?
It's objects and things. I had a vision of empty black space, and I couldn't gain a sense of time in there.
There's no time. With only formlessness, there's no time. And then the moment you perceive phenomena, or you think you do, then suddenly that whole time and change thing comes into existence, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
So time is phenomena. That's an interesting answer, isn't it?
Yes, isn't it? Yes.
Let's stay with the question, see what happens. What really actually is time?
Numbers. I was thinking there about phenomena. I live on the Isle of Harris in north of Scotland, and we have some of the oldest rock on the planet. It's like millions of years old.
It'll still be there millions of years after that body's gone. Yeah.
Exactly, yes, yes, yes. And yet it's not, you know, there will be a point where the sun explodes and takes our planet with it.
Yeah.
Nothing lasts forever.
Even the universe itself, yeah. eventually. It's a form nonetheless, isn't it? Phenomenon.
Nothing.
Really. Actually is time.
Things. Time is definitely things.
So could time be a mode of perception? Time could be how I'm looking at something, where I'm looking from, or as we pointed to, what I think I'm seeing.
Who I think I am.
Yeah.
That's seeing.
Can you run out of time then?
If I think I'm a body, or if I think I'm my thoughts, then I can.
Very definitely, yeah.
I really identify with my thoughts, which is, yeah.
Because, you know, I've never managed to find this thing called time. All the times I've looked, pun intended, I haven't found it. Find only emptiness. When I ask what time is, if I stay with that question long enough, I have to admit that I don't really know what it is. And ironically, it seems to rule our lives, right? This clock on the wall says it's 3:20 and we've been going 1 hour and 20 minutes now into this class. But also, if I really look at what time actually is, if I take that clock away and never look at it again, time will still seem to exist. So what happens in your body when you ask this question, what is time? Is there a change in how you feel?
I suddenly had a I saw myself as a school child, as identity too, because there's nothing of me at all left of that. There's a Someone opened a Facebook group about my school and invited me to join, and I was just like, no, oh God, no, there's nothing left of me. That's not me.
Totally gone. Yeah.
No.
The separate sense of self likes to group itself in identities like, I went to this school, and that's fine, of course, isn't it?
Identity is in time. Objects are in time.
Is there more relaxation in the body when you ask this question? Or is it tense?
A little bit of anxiety now, but a little bit of excitement as well. The possibility of something new.
So time is anxiety. Time is excitement too, yeah.
Potential,
yeah, that's a good word.
Creativity.
So the phenomenal answers that are coming now are starting to be more on the positive side. So potential, creativity, rather than pressure and anxiety. You know, the longer we stay with any question, the more we're going to notice the phenomenal answers are coming in more pleasant ways. Also, can you notice the noumenon answer? Is it showing up as well some way right now?
I'm hearing the wind.
And what's hearing the wind?
Interestingly, the more I've been noticing, in a sense, the more I slow down, the more I can get a sense of something that I can't when I'm rushing around in time.
Yeah, in time, yeah, this thing.
Yeah, there's more time when I slow down and pack less in it.
So time is very bendy, function of my perception. We've all experienced that, right? You're stuck in traffic, time goes really quick. You're utterly, utterly bored, time moves really slowly. You know, everything in between.
Time is meaning as well. So without time, I don't have meaning.
Which is there a meaning for you then without time? Is time something that's been related to our value, our function, our worthiness? Can you see it's all tight? Can you feel an energetic thing there?
Tightness in my chest.
I only have so much time to prove I'm worthy, and I'm running out of time. Time is also worthiness then. It's a lot of different things than we first thought, isn't it? It's the wind as well. And the listening. You're getting more of a sense of the fact that you just don't actually know what it is.
Like a window, almost like a ray of sunlight can come through this gap. Which is so exciting. It's like something beyond this wall, maybe.
Yeah, because we've been trapped in this concept, or thinking we're trapped in this concept of time for so long. Birth, life, death. Birth, life, death. Over and over again. And each lifetime, I have a certain amount of finite, you know, okay, you're off, go. And you've got so much time to... and then the final pressure of trying to realize the self, awaken, enlighten. Before the body dies, you have to start all over again, you know, all that stuff. Finally, when this time thing is just, when we actually admit, I don't know what it is, but I'm really curious to find out now. It becomes a joyful thing, a platform where you can jump off of, to dive deeper into reality. Most important though, it's not the scary thing and the pressure thing that we thought it was.
Been trying to control it. I've been trying to make it into something.
Yeah, I'm trying to make friends with it, and then it'll treat me nicely. And I'm laughing because I've done all this myself, you know. But even in a form, even still with your body being a body, before you're outside the body or anything, you've said that you've experienced time differently. It slows right down when you do. I remember once there was this moment where I walked into the supermarket, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and it was really busy, really busy. And it was just like babies crying, you know, announcements and music and everything. And that was always my ideal nightmare before awakening. And I could feel my body just went like this. I shouldn't have come on a Saturday afternoon, because I really felt it was Saturday afternoon. Like I was really certain of it. Luckily, something just stopped and go, actually, it's just now, isn't it? It's after a lot of meditation and inquiry. And just for this moment, everything just seemed to stop. Everybody was just stopped. Like, it went totally quiet. And nobody else was looking around. Nobody else seemed to kind of be noticing that this weird thing was happening. So I'm okay. Everyone was just completely beautiful. And it's like, God, I've never seen anyone before, you know, without this. Time was a big thing as well. You know, time and money were very much linked together for me. Worthiness, purpose, all those things you've said. Value, my value is linked to how I use my time. If I'm goofing off watching Netflix instead of meditating, then I'm, you know, wasting time. So I'm laughing because it's funny now, but it really wasn't then. So I'm sure you get that. Yeah. Wonderful. But just stay with this question over the next few days, see where it takes you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wonderful. Good to talk to you. Paula?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, in some ways, what I'm bringing forward is a little bit like what Sarah did.
Yeah.
Only there's a different flavor to it, but there's a lot of what you just said.
Never hurts to do it again.
Say that again?
It never hurts to do the same thing again, because, you know, as we see over and over again, we come back to the understanding that we don't really know what this thing is.
Right. And for me, I'm going to call it patience. And
that's a good one. That's a really good one.
That's really hot, because the impatience is really, it's like poison in my system. And I've been trying.
I was asking this question yesterday because I was sat behind, I was driving on a road and the speed limit was 50 miles an hour. And I was behind someone who was doing 30 miles an hour. And this is the place where it still gets me, you know, a little
bit. Me too.
Yeah. And you know what they say, you find out how awake you really are when you're in the car or when you're with your family. So yeah, totally with you on this one.
Yeah, I feel like such a bad person, and I try and work it out. Like maybe they're old and they can't see, or, you know, maybe
they just had something really horrible happen and they're struggling to even, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Or then I go into another place. Well, if there were no other people in the world, it would be terrible. So aren't you glad there's other people in the world? But it's still poison in my system.
So just noticing this impatience is based on this idea of time, isn't it? Like you said.
That's why I said it's similar to what Sarah said. It's also, it feels like a lack of love. Like if someone cuts in front of me, why does anger come up? Or if I'm sitting in a room and someone's taking up too much airspace or not talking fast enough, I can feel the poison in my body again. And it does feel like the lack of time. There's not enough time, but also the lack of love.
So and what do you want to, is it patience you want to ask about, take into the question, or what specifically?
Patience.
It's a good one. Let's ask then. Let's see what happens. So what really is patience? Because it seems to be missing at certain points. It seems to be absent or not enough of it.
Definitely not enough. Like, or something's wrong.
Let's look at this. What actually is patience? I'd really like to meet it. What actually is it?
Well, I don't know, first thing that comes to me is everything's okay as it is. There's nothing wrong here. Certainly my will. It's like I want to will something. So I'm not being in alignment with what's manifesting. Or
I'm trying to rush reality ahead.
But
I'm trying to rush reality ahead. You know,
a little bit. Okay.
No, I've only done that for a good 20, 30 years of my life. So I get that one. Yeah. So
yeah, it's just like an inner war with what is. Like, why do I think I know better?
So patience is this inner war. Let's value that answer. That's good. And then we'll stay with the question and see what else comes up.
Well, okay, what's also coming up is arrogance. It's like, why do I think something should be different, or I know what could be better?
I know how reality should be, and it's not like this. Yeah. I've been there, done that one. Yeah, I'm sure we all have. Yeah. Patience is arrogance too. Yeah,
it's just... it really feels like poison in my body. My body tenses. I can feel some anger.
Patience is also anger, poison as well, you said. What really is it? We're just curious here together. What actually is patience?
I'd say it's surrender.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
certainly. Does your body feel different when you come to that answer, surrender?
Yeah.
So can you see that you've been experiencing what you think patience is? And as you change, as you open to deeper meanings of what it is, your body begins to feel different. You experience what you think about patience. And stay with the question, see what happens. What really is patience? I even did this with contemplation. I'm really impatient with contemplation. I want to get to the right answer, right? What Leslie was saying right now. Everyone's nodding, right. I can see.
Right.
Yeah. What really is patience? What actually is it?
Just feels like it's certainly peace.
Peace, yeah. Could it be all these things then? Could it be peace, poison, anger, surrender?
Well, that's interesting.
What else could it be? Let's stay with the question. What else could it be?
Lack.
Mm-hmm.
Patience could be love.
Yeah.
Just or acceptance of what is.
Yeah.
It feels like love.
Yeah.
But I love when you offer that it could also be anger.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I judge that so much?
Why is that the wrong answer? Can you see that's the wrong answer? I don't like that one. When I experience it that way, I don't like that. Yeah. When I experience it, surrender or love, that's the right way. That's the right.
Yeah, I love that.
So we keep experiencing what we think about this thing. The answers that we're trying to push away, when it shows up as anger and irritation and impatience, I just like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Because I'm a loving being and I value love. But I'm actually being unloving by pushing these ones away. I can say, that's not my preferred way to experience patience, but if it shows up that way today, I'll honor it the best I can.
Wow. That would be amazing to sit in the car behind someone driving slow.
So a really good question for me when I got stuck on one particular answer, you know, fixated on it, was what else can this show up as? What else can it be?
Right.
Because it just opened me back up again. Oh, it's also the car I'm driving, and it's also the car in front of me. And I was literally doing this yesterday, you know, and they turned off. They actually turned off, and I was like, put my foot down. Because driving for me has always given me great joy, or it's been a reflection of joy. I love driving. End of story. So if someone is in front of me and slowing me down, that's one place where they still experience the particular. So it's only like where we think we know what that thing is, and we keep fixating on those thought answers, when really we don't actually know what it is. We can experience it in an infinite number of ways. But we're so powerful as the self that it keeps showing up in the way that we value most. I don't mean value as in like, I mean what we put most attention on. Oh, it's anger. It's this poisonous feeling in the body. I know what this thing is when it comes. I know there's a deep expectation, like we learn in lesson two, and then it reflects as that experience again. Same, same, same. So what else can it show up as? It was a really powerful question for me to just let go of holding on tightly to that one thing.
Wow. Certainly takes away the judgment.
It can show up as anything, everything. Patience then becomes a synonym for the self, the reality, noumenon, awareness. Everything from lesson four, everything is everything. Everything is a synonym for you, for reality. Wow. And I'm willing to live as a curious being in the state of questioning or inquiry. You know, I'm willing to be curious. Whenever I'm suffering, I've just forgotten to be curious. I think wow. I know what something is, right?
That's awesome.
Thank you for demonstrating that. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll go to Lofter, last but not least. Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hi. Good, yeah.
Good.
Did you say you would take four questions or five? I didn't remember, and then I thought I'm going to raise my hand anyway.
I've got no idea, if I'm honest.
Okay, good.
It was some other now, previously. We'll go with this, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to ask this now because next Thursday I'm busy. So the other day I was driving across the country, and I was having a philosophical discussion with myself, like I sometimes do. And I was thinking about an orange, yes. And I was thinking about the taste of an orange. And I thought, the only way to know the taste of an orange is actually to bite into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if I had billions of dollars and a team of scientists, I couldn't formulate the taste of an orange. So it's entirely subjective.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I thought, okay, so there we have one example of something that's purely subjective. So let's find something that's objective.
Ooh, yeah. I like where this is going.
And I couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
I really tried, and I thought, no, there's I can't find anything that's objective.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thought that came was that if everything is subjective, then there can be only one subject also.
Yeah.
Because many subjects would be objects to one another.
Yeah.
And, I'm pretty sure I exist, so I must be that also. Or I must be that.
I'm pretty sure you exist too. So we're agreed on that, yeah.
Okay. And so, and somehow it's been a week, and I had this... I suddenly had this feeling like, does that mean I'm just, I'm all alone and I'm driving in myself? You know, yeah. Thoughts like that.
Your body's driving around inside you.
It's very strange.
Very strange.
But it felt very exciting also.
Yeah, because it means you're utterly safe. Utterly safe.
Yeah.
We've just been experiencing what we think is happening. Everything is subjectively experienced. There's only the subjective experiencing. That's all there is, isn't it? There's nothing outside. Anything I could experience cannot be experienced without me here to experience it. So it's got to be the same. What I'm looking at and who's looking has to be the same. Same.
It's strange because and it makes absolute sense when I say that I don't know anything that's outside of myself. How could I? It's just not possible.
You couldn't, yeah.
I couldn't. And somehow my mind has accepted this as a fact. And it's been a week and I've tried to squeeze it and I've done everything to try to...
You shake it a bit, see if there's any doubt there, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And somehow I'm still absolutely certain that this is a fact. But there's a lot of resistance.
Because it's just so very different to what we thought was true. There's a habit of momentum to perceive things outside of me, that other being is outside of me, different to me. And life will show you the places now where you still think that thing is outside of you. Every now and again, you'll encounter something where there's a little inner response and you go, whoa, I really think that thing is real and separate to me, or that person or something, or that emotion I'm feeling in here really feels real and separate and out of my control, something like that.
Yeah. And I've been measuring different things up against this subjectivity. Yeah. Like death, for example, or stuff that I'm afraid of, like climate change. Stuff like that, and I'm just measuring it up against it, and somehow it doesn't have any power, but it really wants to be believed.
Yeah, and yeah. It's a very well-believed concept by many, but if even that is inside you, are you powerless over it? Which is where the fear comes from, isn't it? Am I a little being living on this planet, and this planet's in a real bad way, and it's gonna, you know, go south very quickly and we're all in trouble? But if the planet's happening inside me, and I am the only power that exists, then that feels very different, very empowering. And my thoughts really do show up as my experience. And then when I choose not to look through thoughts, something very different can show up.
But I'm in such a strange state because I accept this as a fact, but still I behave as if it's not.
How do you mean behave as if it's not?
It's like I forget about it, you know?
It's perhaps a good thing that you forget about it every now and again. Otherwise, your head would just kind of go, right? So you come back to it and you're obsessed with it for a little bit and you see it deeper and then you forget about it and then you come back to it and it just kind of goes like that. Gradually, it just becomes, instead of like earth-shatteringly, whoa, it's just like, oh, that's just how it is.
But I want it now, all of it.
Why can't you have it now?
I don't know.
See? Immediately, I go back to believing there's something outside of me, outside of my control, even time.
Yes. And the most difficult, this has made my meditation very enjoyable. Yeah. Good. But the thing that's most difficult to somehow pit against this or see in the light of this, mm-hmm, is that this the sensations in my body. Yeah. So I have like contractions in my jaw, or I feel like I'm in my chest and all that stuff. And somehow that seems more real than this fact that I'm absolutely certain of somehow, but so
and that's where this has to be applied to now, isn't it? You're just seeing, life is showing you now the things that you feel, the subtle things like this contracted feeling in the body. I feel this way, there's some, this feeling in my body, and it feels outside of me, it feels different to me, separate to me, something I can't control. So this is just where, but can you experience that contraction without, isn't that also subjective, as you called it, purely subjective?
It is. Yeah.
Can it exist then?
And I've,
without you?
No.
So no, is it other than you? Even a contraction, is it something that arose out of you even? Can we even say that? If it cannot exist without you, is it different to you? So here's some doubt. Can you feel? I'm not convinced here. So what's happening here is the word, contraction has a meaning that's given to it. Bad. It's bad. Don't like it. Mm-hmm. Bad. Can you feel that? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're experiencing what you think about the contraction rather than the actual contraction, which is lesson four here. What actually is the contraction when I just experience it without thinking about it? What is it really?
But I don't know how to experience it without thinking about it.
Just asking this question, what actually is it? See what happens. What is a contraction, really? Curious.
I don't know what it is.
And that's different.
I don't even know where it is.
Yeah. That's different, isn't it? To how we have experienced it already. That's because I know where it is. I know what it is. I know how long it lasts for. I know what I have to do to get rid of it, but it always comes back. Mm-hmm. So for the first time, I don't know what it is, actually. I don't know where it is either. Staying with this question then, and it will begin to reveal this contraction is also the noumenon showing up this way. the pure subjectivity showing up as this.
I have this thought that it must go away. I need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Which is very strange because why should I need to get rid of something to see that it's not real?
So here's something really important just happened right there, really important. When I asked you what this contraction is, that thought came as an answer. So the contraction is this thought. It must go away. This thing must go away. I'm rejecting something. It must go. And that also is experienced as the contraction. So because I think there's something to reject, I feel tense in my body. And mine says, here's lesson two. Mine says, of course I'm going to want it to go away because it's really there. See how powerful you are? How you immediately experience what you think to be true.
That is very helpful.
So just noticing nothing's going wrong here. It's just you're noticing little pockets of doubt where you could be a little bit more you're convinced on an absolute level. It's obviously true. And then there'll just be certain little things. For me, it was like physical pain. I was really sure I knew what that was. And then money and time, we talked about some stuff like that, you know, some emotions. So we'll all get shown the things that we still really are believing in as real separate things that can exist outside of us. And this is just one of yours, isn't it? This contraction.
I'm going to say this once just so I don't forget it. So the contraction is the thought that it should go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Trippy, huh?
That's very strange.
Yeah.
That's very strange, isn't it?
But you think about it, the one thing that the self cannot do, the infinite self, it cannot reject anything. It's anti-reality to try to reject something. And as you said, we're only trying to reject it because of what we think it is. And then the moment I try to push something away, I make it into a real phenomenon that I can push away. And I feel divided then into two. And that's the feeling, isn't it, right? I feel divided into two. Me and what I'm pushing. We also do it with things I'm grabbing, bliss, you know, I want bliss or peace or whatever. Time, wellness, whatever it is that we want or don't want. That's the core division. There's something, a real something for me to push away. That is the contraction right there. That's the thought.
Great. I'm excited to do my daily meditation after this. Lastly, I just about this when I was driving and had this philosophical discussion with myself and came to this conclusion. it's so funny that how the universe works, because half an hour later I've driven hundreds of kilometers. Half an hour later, I had a job interview.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was very strange to look at my potential boss, and I just 30 minutes before I'd been pondering this and realized that nothing is outside of myself. Mm-hmm. And the day after I started the job, and I just thought,
meanwhile,
it's typical, isn't it?
Meanwhile, human existence carries on, and it's the same. Your body's just moving around, but it's completely different inside, isn't it? Completely. Well done. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So we will just wrap it up. We have gone through all of these four lessons, and there is obviously value in repeating them. You've seen that pretty much everything I'm about is asking a question. So if you're in trouble, ask a question, and that openness is going to be able to allow different types of answers. Hopefully you're seeing from lesson four, even already from what we've gone through, that we really do experience our thoughts as reality. You can either experience your thoughts or you can experience reality, and you can't do both at the same time. So the moment you're curious about something, you're experiencing reality. And that's why it feels so nice to ask a question. It feels just, you know, open and free. So my advice would be to start again, take in lesson four, and then to go around to lesson one again gently, not from I'm going to get through all this and get to the point where I really, 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 really know it. I'm talking from my own experience. So just gently, I'm just going to listen. And each time I'm going to fall in love with it more. The end of the four lessons is the beginning of applying them, living as them. And that's an endless thing that's joyous, still deepening for me even now. This class that we've done today has been different than any other lesson four class that I've ever done. And the very next one will be completely different too. There's no way it could be the same, because reality can never show up the same way twice. It's always expanding to more, more insight, more clarity, more wisdom, more peace, more love and more joy. So there are a few announcements I need to make before I forget, basically, which I will do now. So the question and answer session, the last one, as I said, is on Thursday evening, and you can send in stuff until Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. UK time. The actual session is 7 p.m. Thursday evening. Anything you send in after that will just get lost. So if you've got something you want sending in, not get lost, then, but we won't be able to include it. So if you've got something you want to ask about lesson four or any of the course, get it in today if you can. the nuggets that you're receiving over email, they're on Facebook as well, they will continue until day 28, because there's a whole week to apply lesson four after this. And then Claire will put, there's a document that has them all on, and that'll be put on the page where the recordings are too, so you can download that too. There is a new DTE course for you guys, Sangha, starting Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. UK time, so there's an extra one there. The Sanghas continue even when the course isn't running, so you can join. I really encourage you to join those, any Sanghas that you can, and really make the most of studying these lessons together. I'd encourage you to buddy up with people that are doing the course. If you know someone that's already done it as well, you can go through it with them. The recordings are available until the next course starts, so you can download them and keep them forever if you want to. So they're available till the last day of August. Every single time you get someone email in who says, really sorry, where the recording's gone. So please, if you want to keep these, you can download them. If you need help downloading them, email us evolutionofspirit@gmail.com, and we can help you out with that. Last but by no means least is, if you've enjoyed the course and you want to carry on studying together as a group, the lessons, then we have something called the graduate program. It's not an advanced thing. It's not like the super duper lessons. It's literally each month we take a lesson and we study it the whole month. It's a growing family, a community. This month we've been studying lesson two in depth the whole month. Can you imagine insights that come when you study one for the whole month? Next month we're going to combine lesson three and four together in a powerful way to really have some insights with that. It's a subscription service. You pay monthly. So there's subscriptions from as little as £10 a month, and plenty of people use that option. There are higher ones if you're lucky to be able to contribute like that. You don't have to join the graduate program ever. You can join it at any point from now onwards, the rest of your life. If you ever feel 10 years from now, you can join it today, whatever you feel right with. It's we meet once a month in a graduate program for a live Q&A like this, like a lesson that we've done. And then we meet later in the month for a Q&A session. You can send stuff in like with the course. There's buddies, there's sanghas that run only for the graduate program where we can really get to know each other. We're just about to start a book study club as well. We're going to go through next month, Dissolving the Ego book in depth. every Sunday that's going to run, and also the Bhagavad Gita, the first of many books that we're going to study. Just finished writing some notes on that, so it's very exciting. There are graduate program intensives and events only for graduate program members. There are other things. We try to have graduate program meetups when we meet for retreat and things like that, just to get together. There's a lot of archives of material. It's been going for 2.5 years now, the graduate program. A whole wealth of resources on studying these lessons. There are plenty of other things as well. And a lot of the graduate program runs by volunteers. So I want to thank those people that people also that have run the DTE Sanghas that give their time to help other students. Really, none of this course would work without the people co-hosting, like Colleen today. Thank you. People answering emails, all of that. Sounds a bit like an Oscar acceptance speech. I'd like to thank my agent, but the truth is you only see me, but there's a whole host of people working behind the background. And so I really want to just take a moment to show appreciation for them. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is not an end. This is a beginning of discovery and curiosity, end of seeking and suffering, this beginning of discovery and curiosity. And I want to finish by saying what I started saying, that this course isn't causing your awakening. It's working with what's already happening. You could not be in a course like this if you were not already deeply awakening. And that's true despite what your mind says. So I know who you are. And there's no amount of thought can convince me otherwise. And hopefully you're coming to see who you are too. It's beautiful, divine, extraordinary mystery. So if you have any questions at all about moving forward, you can email in. You can also contact Michael Goff, who is our graduate program ambassador. He also helps students coming out of the course with what to do, you know, with technicalities of that. So Michael is going to stay online after I leave this session. So if you have any questions at all about the course, about the graduate program, anything, and any graduate program members here on the session that want to stay and help out, you're more than welcome. Just for a few minutes in case anyone has any questions, because then you don't have to feel that you're asking with me in the class. So I just want to take another final moment, keep saying moment, but to say thank you to you for believing in yourself enough to sign up for this. Because for everyone that wanted to, there's probably about 100 people that didn't feel they could make it or deserve it or are ready for it. So that says something, doesn't it? That you're here, that you're at the end of this, these lessons at least. There's the Q&A on Thursday, of course. So thank you. And thank you for allowing me the amazing joy of being your reality tour guide. over here, reality looks like this and illusion looks like this. So just be aware that the exits to illusion and separation are all around you and maybe behind you. And it's with much love and gratitude that I just want to say thank you. So thank you. Namaste. So let me stop this recording.